This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Wrestler. No, Steve Wrestler, who is the founder of GovLoop, former Fed, and now private sector, but still running an extraordinary network in GovLoop. Steve, hey, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, Mark, thanks for having me. I'm calling you Mark, not Amtower. Thanks for having me.
Call me anything you want. It doesn't really matter. Steve, you've been on my radar for, I don't know how many years now, at least four from GovLoop. So let's start there. What enticed you and where were you in government when you started this?
Yeah, so I come through government. I always tell people I'm a third-generation public servant. So my dad worked 40 years at IRS. My grandfather worked in the military and postal service. So I come through it through good or bad genes, whether the way you want to take it. And I went to University of Pennsylvania for grad school. I was there when 9/11 happened, and Homeland Security started a scholarship program where they actually gave they paid your graduate tuition and give you a stipend if you're doing anything Homeland Security related. I was studying social network analysis and terrorism, and therefore I did my master's on that and started working for DHS in 2004 in the Inspector General's office.
Cool.
And through that, the next kind of 5 years, I worked a couple different jobs at DHS, both as an IT auditor in the Inspector General's office as well as with Immigration, Customs Enforcement, and the IT program management shop.
Okay. Now, what was your involvement in social media in grad school? Obviously, you were studying it. So what were you doing? What did you see evolving then?
Yeah, so...
Give me the years on this, too.
Yeah, so I was in grad school 01 through 04. I kind of started in fall of 01. And at that time, kind of the first social media that popped on my radar was actually a service called Friendster, which people may or may not remember.
It was one of the first.
It was the hot new thing. I remember when it first launched, I hopped on board, and there was just something, I was actually a sociologist, so there's something just fascinating to me about interacting with others, seeing how they interact, and I loved it right away. So that was kind of my first interaction. Back in those days, you know, Friendster was used more, the first network, as a, you know, people use it for dating and music and that type of thing, less of actually kind of doing work or actually connecting with real friends. So that's probably my first take on it. My second take actually became, once I went to the government in 04, one of the first problems I saw in government, so I was, you know, a young, passionate person about public service. I wanted to meet others like me. Kind of looked at my office, and there weren't a whole lot of people that looked like me. You know, the average age in government, I think, is 47. There's not a whole lot of kind of smart, young 20-somethings in government. Debatable whether I'm smart or not.
You still look like you're 15, so.
Oh, 12, but, you know. So I basically started a group which is now called Young Government Leaders, and it's a 501c3 nonprofit, chapters all over the U.S., over 2,000 members. It's basically an organization to connect young federal employees. So through that, I was actually in charge of both our LinkedIn group for Young Government Leaders, our MySpace group when MySpace was cool, and eventually our Facebook group for Young Government Leaders. So that's kind of where I really got interested in, you know, how can we use social media to connect people in government? And through those, basically what I was seeing with Young Government Leaders is that, first of all, on Facebook and MySpace, people weren't really interested in connecting and having real conversations about work in the same place where they're, you know, sharing photos from a wedding or a bachelor party or, you know, from the night out last night or connecting with their high school buddies. You know, they're on Facebook or MySpace to see their friends, see babies, to have fun. They don't want to talk about what is the future of acquisition reform? You know, what's the best, you know, best practices for telework? That just, it didn't work very well. So that's kind of where I was thinking, you know, there needs to be a better space to have kind of real conversations on a deeper level. And the other thing I saw in our LinkedIn group, which I separate LinkedIn from Facebook and MySpace, and I know, Amtower, you're a big fan of LinkedIn as well.
Big fan.
Our group was good in terms of, you know, we got a lot of people there. People seem to like it. But, you know, the group space never really did very well in terms of conversations. The discussion threads were okay, and some of that worked, but there was really no blog component, so there's really no place to write a long, lengthy conception of your ideas. It still wasn't very good on the discussion threads as well as I liked. There was no real ability to do much with photos and videos at the time as well. And some of this has changed a little bit at the time, but
better discussions, think, but not on photo and video.
Yeah, and blogs are still kind of pretty weak. So those were kind of my thoughts of, hey, there needs to be kind of a space for people in and around government to have to connect, share best practices in the government context. And at the same time, I was basically following the social network, social media ecosystem. And there's actually a lot of niche social networks. So there's one called Sermo, which is the social network for doctors. There's actually one lawyers, social network for lawyers. There's one for dentists.
Is that called Shark Tank for lawyers?
Yeah, Shark Tank. They have the Dogster, which is for dog owners. So there's actually a range of these kind of niche social networks for one specific kind of goal. And so that was basically the genesis and idea for GovLoop.
Okay, so how did you find Andreessen's platform, the Ning platform?
Yeah, so GovLoop's about 85% on Ning still. It started out 100%. Now we've made some customizations. But at the time, I was looking at, so how do you build social networks? So in the past, it required, you know, millions of dollars and developers. But around the same time, Mark Andreessen, who was also the founder of Netscape and Opsware and lots of kind of great, huge companies, created a company called Ning, which was, her premise was, this is the platform to create your own social network. And it looked pretty awesome. I looked and researched a bunch of different other platforms. There's some open source tools like Drupal and Joomla and Elg that do an okay job, and as well as some other competitors in Ning. But I really liked the stuff that Ning was doing. It's pretty cheap compared to some of the other services. And since that time, actually, I've been really happy with Ning. GovLoop's one of the top Ning networks. You know, we're always in kind of the Ning betas, whether it's releasing a new API or you know, we created an iPhone app that was pretty early with them. So they've been actually treated us really well. So I've still been really happy with the technology that Ning provides.
Okay. Now, the impetus for starting GovLoop was when you were Fed, the tagline was buy for and about government employees or federal employees. Yeah,
the tagline from the beginning, so it kind of comes from my experience from young government leaders. So, you know, young government leaders started out, hey, let's have a place to connect, you know, young federal employees. You know, so if you're at Center for Disease Control, I'd love to hear what you're doing on IT strategy or EPA. And the cool part is I actually, through the work of young government leaders, I got asked to talk at a lot of places. So I got to speak at Brookings and the Kennedy School and a lot of the great conferences in D.C. And what I noticed, which is kind of obvious, right, is that I didn't want to just talk to young people. People of all ages had some of the best ideas. It's not about being young. It's about being energetic and innovative. And as well as it's not just about being Fed. So I met a lot of folks in the state and local space that had a lot of great, interesting ideas. I met a lot of great kind of nonprofit folks. So the folks at the National Academy of Public Administration, Partnership for Public Service, all the great groups there, as well as the government contractors. So I know that's kind of key on this show, but you know, there is this kind of old school divide of government and industry that I think is changing. And you know, a lot of my best friends who are passionate about public service and you know, got masters of public policy degrees, you know, do work for the quote Beltway Bandits, and I think it's wrong to exclude them. So when I created GovLoop, I basically wanted a space for government innovators to connect and share best practices, and I wanted it to be a real conversation going on. So that was kind of the idea. As you mentioned, I had the idea for a while, but you know, the hardest part is actually doing anything. Ideas are easy. It's the execution that's hard. And basically, I just decided to do it. So I was working a, you know, 8-to-5 job at Homeland Security. And, you know, I spent 6 to 10 every night kind of working on GovLoop, creating the platform, spreading the word, you know, blogging on the site, you know, writing discussion threads, welcoming new members, and basically just kind of getting out my passion, which I saw every day at work, is I would get a task from my boss, and he would be like, hey, you know, create an IT strategic plan, or hey, create a new recruitment strategy for our agency, or hey, like, what's this whole cloud computing thing? What should we do in our agency? And I thought, why am I doing this alone? I think everyone in every agency is dealing with the same problem. Rather than us just read about it online and Google it, what if we had a place to actually collaborate and say, hey, you know, this is what we're doing at my agency, or hey, here's a cool paper you may not have seen. That was kind of the impetus for GovLoop.
Cool. My guest is Steve Ressler. He is the founder of GovLoop. When we come back, we're going to pursue a little bit more about the growth of GovLoop and the uses of social media in the government market. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Looking for usable news and information that helps you do your job? Tune into In-Depth with Francis Rose every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Francis explores the relationship between agencies and Congress by taking you to the hearing rooms on Capitol Hill and asking questions of federal decision makers and experts. You'll get a firsthand look at how Congress affects your agency's personnel, funding, and oversight. In-Depth also looks at the relationship between agencies and contractors, companies that do billions of dollars of business with the federal government, talk about the work they're doing for agencies, the work they're bidding on, and the work they didn't get. And In-Depth will help you be a better manager. Francis talks to authors, scholars, and managerial experts about managing projects, managing your workforce, and managing yourself. In-Depth with Francis Rose, every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is Steve Ressler, founder of GovLoop, former Fed, and all-around Web 2.0 junkie. Is that a fair assessment?
Sure. Sounds good. I'll take it.
well, junkie is not the right word, but, you know, perhaps guru would be better. But we were talking about, you know, how you kicked off GovLoop. And what year did GovLoop start?
So GovLoop started June 2008, so about 2 years ago. So it was basically launched it, like I was talking before, you know, had the idea and basically just launched it on a day, sent it to 10 friends, and, you know, started spreading the word to the people I knew. And like all things, I think people assume with social media and social networking that it's easy. Like, just kind of set up a site, hit go, and the viral juice gets going or whatever people think it is.
Yeah,
but it's actually a lot of hard work, and so basically spent the first 6 months kind of spreading the word, and I think it took 6 months to get 1,000 members. So
And as you know, a network doesn't drive itself; it has to have content, and you were there every night providing content as well.
Yep, providing content, reaching out to members that were active on the site, and asking them, "Hey, do you want to write a blog, or do you want to volunteer?" and just doing a lot of that. And I would say it really started kind of tipping kind of winter 08, you know, start of 09. So this is kind of, I think there was a lot of buzz in government, the Obama administration winning the election. People were really looking at how can new technology impact governing, instead of just politics, but governing. We also at the time started, people just started spreading the word. So we still get most of our referrals and new members from friends telling friends. So I think what we were doing was just good and helping people solve problems at work. That's what it's really about. It's not, social media isn't for fun. It's about how to do your job better.
But it's only it's only been 2 years and 3 months.
Yeah, it's only been.
Seems like 5 years, Steve. I swear.
Well, I feel like, you know, the number of hours I put in, it probably was 5 years.
we won't get into the addictive aspect of any social media platform, because they can be. Okay, so right now, GovLoop is what, about 32,000,
33,000? Yeah, I think so. We actually hit 34,000 yesterday, so we're 34,000 members. It's about half federal, 30% state, local, the other 20% is a mix of contractors and nonprofit folks and some students.
Okay. But pretty much everybody, I mean, the focus is government market or government, not even the government market.
Yeah. So, I mean, in contrast to, you know, there's a lot of other social networks out there. So the core of what we're trying to do is connect and share best practices to solve government problems. So stuff we talked about, for example, would be, you know, how to implement a social media policy in your agency, mm-hmm. or how to sell telework to your boss, or, you know, how to do a sophisticated, successful acquisition. But more, it's all kind of from the government side. It's less of the vendor side of,
right.
Hey, how do I win this deal?
Well, but part of what you said earlier could certainly help a vendor, because you said when your boss would task you with something, you thought, boy, if I threw the idea out to this little community, I'll get a bunch of feedback, right? So
yeah.
you would throw it out in GovLoop or on LinkedIn, but on LinkedIn or GovLoop, you're going to get feedback from the contractor community as well. Yes, no?
Oh, totally. And I think that's the real opportunity, I think, for contractors and social media is to really engage and build relationships.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, most people know most of contracting is about relationships. So, you know, GovLoop is about that. If you write a really good blog or you answer questions, you're building relationships with folks. And, you know, if you come in and try to spam people or try to market it, yeah, we'll kick you out. But if you come in and you answer a question around cloud computing really well, that all of a sudden positions you as an expert on cloud computing. And all of a sudden, people are building relationships with you, thinking you're an expert in cloud, which, you know, helps you on future contracts. So I think that's the real positioning of how you can use sites like GovLoop, and as well as LinkedIn and Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long have you been on LinkedIn? Because you were in graduate school in the early 2000s.
Yeah, I think I've probably been on LinkedIn since 2004. I'm trying to think when it launched. Did it launch?
It launched mid-late 2003.
Yeah, I was on it pretty right away because I was looking for jobs in 2004. So.
Okay, yeah, because I joined February 11th, 2004. And you can actually look that up on your settings page.
Oh, cool.
Not that we need to go there, but I'll show you how to do it later. So, you know, one of the things when I'm talking to companies, especially CEOs, you know, this is a time waster. We don't need social media, blah, blah. There's no payback. You just kicked that one out of the park. Because,
yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
I think it's really simple. I mean, I think it's like all things. If you're looking for short-term wins on anything you do, whether it's marketing or going to an event, if you think, you know, if you have a booth at X conference, or if you think you put up ads tomorrow, you're going to get a deal. In the government market, that's just wrong. You know, the government market is all about relationships. It takes a long time, and, you know, there's no super quick wins. But, you know, if you're consistently building relationships, positioning yourself as a thought leader, and building your brand through all these various channels, I think you need to do them all, you know, offline events, you know, going to different conferences as well as online, whether it's, you know, writing thought leader blogs or being on GovLoop or LinkedIn. It's all about building your thought leadership, your relationships and branding. And, you know, true, you're not going to see, hey, I was on LinkedIn yesterday for 30 minutes. Now I got a deal. But I have probably 20 examples I can tell you of relationships I've built on social media that I never would have met in person. And I think the final thing I would say is sometimes it's actually really easier. It's easier to actually build relationships online with people you want to reach. So I know personally there's been a half dozen people I've really wanted to meet. So one example is I wanted to meet Chris Hughes, the co-founder of Facebook. I wanted to meet George Krotzel, the CEO of IT Toolbox, this big social network for IT folks. In real life, I don't actually have that much of an opportunity to meet them. You know, they're famous, they're bazillionaires, blah, blah, blah. On social media, you know, both I kind of tweeted them, said, hey, what's going on? and eventually got calls with both of them where we kind of talked about the future of social media, and they gave me some advice on GovLoop. So that's just one kind of clear example of how you can use social media to find people you want to talk to.
Right. I often look at their profiles and see what groups they belong to, and if we're in a the same group, you got, you know, on LinkedIn, at least you have the ability to reach out that way. When you got on LinkedIn early as a Govy, though, what other groups did you join besides starting the GovLoop group and the YGL group on LinkedIn?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think it's, you know, I'm in one. I think it's Government Connections. Mm-hmm. So I'm in that one.
That's Andrew's group, yeah.
Yeah, I'm in a few. Honestly, Government Connections is probably the best. There's no one that I thought was kind of indispensable for my search. So I was in a few. Sometimes I, you know, go out of them. I remove myself and I try to add some new ones. But those were kind of the main Government Connections. Later on, I got into a few more that were in, I mean, the online advertising one that's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the agency ones I didn't get that much. I didn't like that much. The DHS one was very good at the time.
Okay. So, but there's no generic. What about have you done much in Facebook lately? Because it's trying to become more B2B friendly, and you know, I think they're succeeding to a degree, but it's not to a degree that takes me away from time on LinkedIn.
No, I mean, I still think Facebook is, you know, the pages are getting better, and I know people are using those, and I would definitely encourage people to, you know, create a presence, a page for yourself on Facebook. But I still think the core of what people want to do there is connect with friends and have a social fun experience. So, you know, I think a core uses I use it for, and it's more fun. It's for example, yesterday in the mail, I got a Starbucks gold card. I go to Starbucks so much. So I took a photo and uploaded that on Facebook, and I got 10 comments from my friends. Those are the successful conversations that go on.
Yeah.
Less so of the, you know, hey, you know, what do people think about cloud? I still think people just don't want to do that on Facebook, and I think Facebook will change more. But you even see with Facebook Places, which is now their kind of geographical thing where you can check in and tell people, hey, I'm at this location, I'm at the gym, or I'm at this concert.
Mm-hmm.
It's still about telling your friends something fun. So I think it's still about fun and connecting with your friends more than B2B type information.
Okay. My guest today is Steve Ressler. Steve is the founder of GovLoop. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the generational split in use of social media. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris on The Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Steve Ressler. Steve is a former Fed and the founder of GovLoop. Steve, let's get into the generational aspect. I'm twice as old as you, but I'm probably the exception to at least part of the rule here, because I'm all over LinkedIn. I'm still trying to figure out Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on GovLoop. I'm on GovLoop twice because I lost my first account stuff. So we'll go there later. What are the generational aspects here? Because earlier in the first segment, you mentioned something about how do you build a policy for an agency, but how do you convince your boss in an office in an agency that there's value to social networking?
Yeah, so this is a question I get a lot. And first of all, I always tell people that the concept that social media is just for kids is a myth. That's a lie. That may have been true 4 years ago, but it's not true now. So specifically on GovLoop, our average age is 41. So it's a little bit younger than the average federal worker, which I think is 48, but it's not, you know, 22, and sometimes people think it is. On Facebook, specifically, the fastest growing population is over 55. And on a real personal example level, when I joined Facebook right when at the first time you were able to join Facebook as a non-college student, I was already out of college. And the first, I don't know, year and a half, the only other friends I had were people in kind of my demographic, Gen Y, 20s, Gen X, you know, some of the Gen Xers in the 30s. Mm-hmm. But in the last kind of year and a half, that's just radically changed. So I would say half my friends on Facebook are folks I know from the government market. And, you know, and almost all of those would be over the age of 40. So these are 40s, 50s, 60s onwards. And so I think that's the clear example that it's not a Generation Y 20-something thing anymore, which it may have been a couple years ago. So A, that's just that up front. And B, I think this is just going to change. So much how I said earlier that, you know, a couple years ago, it was just a bunch of 20-somethings. Now it's not. I think that's only going to increase more as people get more used to it. So, for example, the more people that are on Facebook and see the value, actually see it versus just talking about it, see the value of how cool it was that my son took a video of my grandchild and posted it up in 30 seconds and I saw it right away. Think about that for the workforce, you know. Maybe I can use this inside of a EPA where we have 16,000 workers so I can see what people from other agencies and my coworkers are doing. Or use a site like GovLoop and think, oh, maybe it would be useful to connect with someone from another agency and collaborate on a topic. So I basically see social media only growing. And you can kind of use the Facebook analogy as all the generations get on Facebook. And Facebook now is, I think, 500 million users, over 500 million users. The fourth biggest country in the world, that just shows that this is only going to continue. It's not about kids and, you know, a bunch of 20-somethings anymore.
Right, and LinkedIn broke 75 million compared to Facebook, that's small, but you've also got to consider that it's exclusively a business platform.
Yeah, and just those numbers, I think people forget how huge those are. So, you know, you compare actually the use of Facebook to a common technology like email and the phone and cell phones, and it's, you know, actually growing at like almost a faster rate than they were at those times. So the pure percentages of people on these social media platforms is insane, and the percentage of time on the internet, the majority goes to social networks now. So I think what I always try to tell people in this industry and in this space, there's a lot of people that kind of like, oh, this is a fad and it'll go away and I can close my eyes. I always want to warn those folks that, you know, did you do the same when the web first created? You know, were you a company that said, oh, we don't need a website, we'll never need a website, that's a waste of the money? Did you work at a government agency that said, and there were tons of government agencies that said, oh, we don't need a website, that's a waste of taxpayer dollars, we should never do that. Well, now, for any company, you know you need a website. If you use it right, it's a strategic asset. Government agencies use their websites, whether it's EPA.gov or WhiteHouse.gov, as one of the core, if not the core, way to get information out to citizens. And I think social media is the same, and you basically have two choices. You could be early, and you know when you're early, you have a strategic advantage. So you could come now, learn about it, use it as a strategic advantage for your company or your agency, or you can wait and be late to the game. And those are kind of the two choices. The third choice that some people like, that it'll go away, that's not going to happen.
Well, you know, the arguments that I hear regarding CEOs against or managers against social media use are the exact same arguments that the management and CEOs had when email first became widespread. You know, oh, it's a time waster, we don't need this, you know, nobody needs to get in touch that fast. It's cyclic, and the cycle's going to shorten, because who knows what the next platform, what Web 3.0 is going to bring. So, and maybe you have some ideas there. But one of the things that I wanted to ask you about was, let's take a concept like you brought up telework earlier a couple of times. How can you leverage social media with telework?
Yeah, so I think obviously telework is where the future is going in the government market. So you can read this, you know, a lot of in government agencies, you know, GSA's had for a while their push to get 50% of their agency to telework. They're still pushing. You know, OPM's pushing telework as well. And it just makes sense for a ton of reasons, both with the cost, the commuting patterns, environment, sustainability. So I think you're going to see more and more of telework. And so if you think about telework, you know, you're working from home. One of the key advantages of working is the water cooler, right? So this is where, you know, you get a lot of your information kind of sometimes by being on the elevator. And then, you know, I was an IT program manager. But so in the elevator, I'd run into Bob from architecture or Joe from security. And I'd say, hey, just checking in. How's the whatever, the security audit going? And or as well as, you know, you kind of get your cup of coffee or water and you run into someone. And, A, you're talking about fun stuff occasionally. Maybe you're talking about American Idol or the Redskins. Then you actually get into work. And I think social media and social networking kind of has the same opportunity. It's, in a lot of ways, it can be an online water cooler. So there's a lot of great technologies to add internally at your agency where you can actually have that. So you can update your status, hey, working on this project, or hey, looking for help on this, where you may not actually know that Bob needs help on his security audit, but through social media and social networking, you see it in his kind of Facebook status-esque type thing, whether it's on GovLoop or your own inside in the firewall opportunity or network.
My guest today is Steve Ressler. Steve's the founder and president of GovLoop. When we come back, we're going to talk about some other things that Steve is involved in, particularly Gov2O Radio, and literally what's coming down the pike in the way of Web3.0 and Gov3.0. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is Steve Ressler, founder and president of GovLoop. Steve, I was interviewed a while back. I think I've been interviewed twice there, but on Gov2O Radio, and I know that you you work with Adriel Hampton on that, you and Steve Lunsford. So first of all, let's talk a little bit about how Gov2O Radio popped and what your involvement is in it.
Yeah, so Gov2O Radio is a podcast we do every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and you can go to gov2oradio.com to check out the archive. It basically came about, the three of us actually met on GovLoop. So this is me, Adriel Hampton, who works for the city of San Francisco, and Steve Lunsford, who works for Deloitte Federal. And we were really interested in
a
all
a contractor.
A contractor, yep. And we were really interested in all these kind of great case studies going on in Gov2O, so these new great innovative programs, federal, state, local, contractor, private sector, entrepreneurs. And we thought it'd be so cool to have our own show. And there's, you know, lots of new technology that easily run your own podcast. So we use a technology called Blog Talk Radio. And we've been doing it actually now just over a year. So we've had a ton of guests. We've had the famous Amtower on. We've had you know, Tim O'Reilly, Craig Newmark, lots of people at the state and local level. Had people from Australia call in, Canada call in, and it's really kind of a fun, informal podcast where we talk about the future of government, where it's going, and the lessons learned from the people actually doing it. So I always think a lot of the best practices and case studies always just kind of highlight the, hey, this is this amazing project, but on Gov2O Radio, we actually get into, you know, what were the pain points? What were the major hurdles you had during the day? You know, how do you get this through legal and security? And, you know, and how do you actually get things done in government? Because it's not always as simple or straightforward as people think it is.
Right. And it's Gov2O Radio, but it's not sanctioned by any government. It's not put on by any government. It's not approved by any government. It's put on by basically three guys who care and want to add value to the community, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically that. It's I think that's what people forget is, you know, people come into government because they're passionate about public service. And I think there's a ton of people that are hungry to to make change, do good in the world. And, you know, a lot of people think that's just going to work for a nonprofit or Teach for America or Peace Corps. But I'd argue working for the government is just as effective, whether at the city, state, or federal level. You're working on these big issues, whether it's environmental or homeland security, all the wars we have going on. And, you know, there's just a number of people that are really passionate about how do we govern better? How do we do government better? And, you know, what's I think cool is we see a lot of those folks are on GovLoop, and there's actually a community online, both GovLoop and Twitter and the LinkedIns, of people that want to do good, want to make a difference. They don't clock in 15 minutes early and clock out 15 minutes early or late and early. You know, they actually do this all the time because they believe in the missions.
Right. So, yeah, and I tune in to – I don't tune into the live usually, but I do go to the archives for Gov2O Radio, and you've done some really excellent stuff there. What else is coming down the pike here that people should be aware of as far as social media tools go? And you know, what do you see?
Yeah, so I always kind of tell people I still think social media is in a stage where it's an awkward teenager. So it's often like, you know, your 13-year-old son who may look like an adult, he may be 6 feet tall, but you know, he's still kind of growing and learning in the world. So I think people are aware of social media now. I think the next trend is actually doing it well, and people forget that there's a skill to this. So just going to Facebook and hitting add page for your company and setting it up, that's a lot different than actually running a really good Facebook page for your company. There's a skill set in what content you post, how often you post, how you engage with the community, you know, how you promote your Facebook page. Do you do ads on Facebook? Do you incorporate that in your other marketing? Lots of different ideas where it basically, I think, takes social media from a checkbox. So I think there's a lot of people that are saying, hey, we're from X agency, we have a Twitter feed, check, we're cool. Or, hey, we're a company, we have a LinkedIn profile, we're cool. I think the next level is doing it well. I mean, this is the stuff, you know, you talk about of how do you actually use LinkedIn well, not just have a presence. How do you actually use Twitter so it's effective? How do you actually use Facebook and GovLoop to actually do your work better? And I think that's really the next stage of it's not just a checkbox. It's there are some really good people with some real knowledge and expertise on doing it well, and it's a skill set I think people are going to start to build internally in their companies and agencies.
I agree. It all goes back to Jason Alba's first book title, though. You know, you get on these things, and his first book was "I'm on LinkedIn Now What," and that, you know, that's where I found myself on February 11, 2004, and frankly, 6 months and a year later as well. I was sitting there waiting for something to happen. It's the participatory aspect that makes things happen. If you do not participate, nothing occurs.
Yep, and I think it's like, you know, some skill sets people know. So if you know you're an accountant and you have a CPA, we don't want to hire the rookie accountant. We want the expert accountant. I still think there's a thing with social media where it's like, oh, we can get, you know, a 22-year-old intern to do it. Or, yeah, we just hired the, you know, some person for like, you know, $30,000 a year. We're fine. We got that checked off. And it's really much like an accountant, a lawyer, a doctor, a consultant. There's good and bad versions, you know. If you want a bad accountant, you're going to pay less probably. If you want a bad doctor, you're going to pay less. And social media is the same. If you want to do it right, you need to get the skill sets to do it. And not just everyone can do it, but there's, you know, training to be done. There's conferences and events to learn about these things. And there's people with experience that have done it. So that's what I think people should focus on is maybe look at the people on your team that actually really have experience doing it. Get them the training to do it well. Or higher expertise that already knows how to do it.
Yeah, and that goes back to the generational aspect. You grew up with computers. I didn't. You grew up probably with more electronic games. I didn't. So there is a comfort level and a skill level that you've developed early that I've had to adapt to over, you know, the last 15 years or so.
I think there's a blending that goes on to do it professionally. So I think there's, so say, for example, a B2B marketer. So if you're a marketing person working for a corporation, you know a lot of skills that the 21-year-old person doesn't have, who may know how to update Facebook for, you know, to put up photos from their parties, but they they don't know how to represent a brand and to build real engagement. So I think the real sweet spot is getting people that both know the new and the traditional. So a lot of the young folks, and I've talked to a lot of marketers that hire the 22-year-olds, they don't know how to do it for a company or to do it for an agency. It's a lot different than just posting your fantasy football updates for your personal use or your, you know, party photos. It's different when you're representing an agency or brand.
Right, exactly. You have to know what you want to accomplish before you leave the gate.
Yeah, you need goals, you need metrics, and you need to learn. So there's trainings, there's books, there's certificates around how to do this well.
Okay. GovLoop at 35,000. It's not about size, it's about quality. And I know the participation level at GovLoop is pretty high, so that's key. Final thoughts?
Yeah, tell everyone to check it out. Join GovLoop.com. Take 30 seconds to join. It's a great place to connect and learn about the government, market it, and community. Encourage people to really engage in social media. Join, try, share, and feel free to reach out if you have any questions. Steve Russler, I'm at GovLoop on Twitter, and I'm on LinkedIn, and it's facebook.com/govloop.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. As you've heard, my guest today has been Steve Russler, founder and president of GovLoop, and you can find him at govloop.com. You can find him on LinkedIn. You can find him on Facebook. If you just plug Steve Russler into Google, you'll be able to find him very easily. This is not my day job. If you need some of the most experienced marketing advice on B2G, give me a call. You can find me at Federal Direct. And remember, you have not been everywhere until you've been off-center with AmTower.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.